So normally the Ascension falls on Thursday, so this past Thursday, and then we would celebrate the seventh Sunday of Easter this Sunday. But in the United States, it gets transferred to Sunday, so more people can celebrate it, which is a great thing. But as a result, it just causes lots of confusion with readings and all kinds of other things. So if you're lost with certain things, that's okay. It just seems like that happens with the Ascension. For a long time, I always had kind of a wrong idea about the Ascension. I always imagined that the Ascension was like a scene from a sci-fi picture, or a Marvel movie or something. I think of like Star Trek when the captain of the Enterprise is, you know, in trouble and he's down on a planet and he says, you know, beam me up, Scotty, right? And this laser transporter transports him up and returns him to his ship. And while Jesus is lifted up and he's sort of removed from the disciples' sight in a cloud, the first kind of bringing to mind this sci-fi imagery, focusing on that often misses the spiritual point of the Ascension and what he's calling his disciples to do. The Ascension is about Jesus fulfilling his earthly mission, God becoming man, preaching the message of salvation, calling forth then the disciples, suffering death for our sins to redeem the sin of Adam, and resurrecting from the dead, showing that he has conquered death. And now he ascends to the Father, body and soul, and is seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. And he will then send the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which we will celebrate next week, to call forth his disciples to go out and preach the good news of salvation to the ends of the earth. That's what the Ascension is about. But the problem is that the disciples don't fully understand this. And in the Acts of the Apostles, they're hearing Jesus preach about the coming of the kingdom of God and the baptism from the Holy Spirit that they're about to receive. But then they ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And there's different interpretations to what exactly they're asking, but I think it's quite possible they think that it will be a political restoration of the kingdom of Israel, similar to the kings of the Old Testament, like King David or King Solomon. They're going to unite these lands that were separated and bring them back together. And it's interesting that they would think this, because in the 3 years that they had been following Jesus around in his ministry, and all the parables that he's told them about the kingdom of God and what it's like, none of them really lend themselves to that interpretation. It's always spiritual. And yet they have this conception of it being a political kingdom that it's so lodged in their minds that they can't remove it still. And we can sometimes still see that even in parts of Christianity or even in parts of Catholicism today, that Jesus will restore a physical or a political kingdom. And it looks like Jesus is rebuking them in his answer, which he could be. Jesus does that sometimes. Or that he's maybe evading the question, which he's not. Instead, Jesus might be telling them that they are asking the wrong question. That it's not about when the kingdom of God will be restored, but it's about how the kingdom of God will be restored. It's not about when, it's about how. Jesus says that it's not for them to know everything about how this will happen, the time or the hour when the Father will complete his work, but they need to know that they have a role in it, that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and throughout the scattered parts of the kingdom of Israel, of Judah and Samaria and to the far corners of the world. They will be the ones. They will be the army for the king, for Jesus, to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God. After he proclaims this to them, he then ascends into heaven. And he's still going to be with them, but it's going to be in a different way. He's handing on the mission to them. And so as they stare up at the sky, which if any of us were there, we'd probably all do the same thing because you don't witness someone ascending into heaven every day. As they do this, they're told by an angel to stop staring at the sky, promising that Jesus will return in the same way, And now their mission is to go out, to get to work, to fulfill that mission. But they're not doing this work alone. Jesus reassures them that he has given them all power and authority in heaven, commanding them to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Most Holy Trinity, and to teach them to observe all that Jesus has commanded. That is their work. That is what is called the Great Commission, to do these things. Go make disciples, baptize, and teach. Now, we often call this the Great Commission, but we might call this maybe the great omission of the church, because we don't always fulfill it. We don't always do what we're asked to do. We fulfill it well. Like the disciples, we can also misunderstand our call, the authority that is entrusted to us. We think that it's just going to get done somehow, or it's somebody else's responsibility, but it's not my responsibility. We can also think that God will just do the work, which is true. It is God's work, not ours. But he desires for us to cooperate with his work. That's why he gave us the Great Commission in the first place, so we can cooperate with him and fulfill the mission he's asking us to do. The authority entrusted to the disciples and us, it's not about power. It's not about asserting dominance over others. Remember, he calls them servants and that they're called to serve others. It's not like the power, the authority that would be given to a head of state or submitting to someone from the top down. Now, it's true that there is a hierarchy in the church with authority that is entrusted to it, but this authority is derived from living a life of holiness and leading others to Christ by the very witness of our lives. So even the Pope or a bishop or a priest, when they make a decision about something, when they exert their authority, it should come from a place of being a witness to Christ, not just asserting their authority for the sake of it. And so all of that really is to say that authority comes from being rooted in Christ, from being a holy witness, that if we are holy and live a life of holiness, we will lead other people to holiness. Just looking at the lives of the saints, we think about how we're drawn to them and what they do. Or if you've ever been around someone who just lives a very holy life, really following the faith, you can just see how attracted we are to that. And that's the kind of authority that the Lord is asking us to exert. The Great Commission is also about making disciples. It's about baptizing them and teaching them, as I mentioned, but oftentimes we can misunderstand that. We can misunderstand what making disciples means. In the church, we're often good at doing maybe the first two things. We're good about teaching people about the faith, giving them facts about the faith, maybe even we might call head knowledge about the faith, which someone might learn in Catholic school or PSR class or just studying the faith in general. And we're very good at conferring sacraments, which both of these things, I must say, are definitely needed. We need to teach people about the faith, and we need to give them the grace that they need for salvation. Those two things are important. But to make disciples, we need to actually go further. We need to accompany them. We need to walk with them. We need to be a witness to them. We need to provide a community for them. And that sounds complicated, but it's really not. It often just means doing simple things like answering their questions that someone might have, whether they're a new convert or just someone that we know in the faith. It means finding moments where the Holy Spirit can inspire you to speak to them. And so oftentimes just asking a very basic question like, how are you doing? I'll say that again because I know it's really complicated. How are you doing? That's all you have to do. If you just ask a question like that or ask, you know, how are you doing living your faith? You can even just share yourself as well, whether it's going well for you or not. That can be a great way to be able to start and open and offer trust, to build trust with others, to have those conversations. You can even offer to pray with them or for them in some way. Invite them to something, a parish event, or invite them to a Bible study. Invite them to something in your life to help enrich their faith. I think it's also important for us, too, to make commitments to others to say that we're going to try and walk with somebody in the faith. So, for example, if you're a couple, you and your spouse could find another couple that you want to walk with in the faith, having dinner with them, talking with them. It doesn't have to be all about just the faith only, but it can be a great way to be able to share that faith and form yourselves, but also form other disciples. If you're a student in school, having those times where you can talk to your friends and have those conversations about the faith is important. I find the summer is a great way to do that because you just spend more time with friends. And I often remember in my own life just having conversations, deep conversations about different things. And so it can be very important for us to do. And if you're scared of that, or you think it's going to be awkward, that's okay, because it might be. Sometimes it is awkward, and we have to embrace the uncomfortable. But it can also be something that's short. It doesn't have to be a long thing that we do. The Holy Spirit can work in short moments. God can perfectly work in small, short moments. And remember, too, that when you do this, that you receive all the power of heaven and earth that is given to you. That's a pretty powerful promise, that if we have that strength from the Lord and God's help, and if we ask for his help, he will give it to us. He will help us to accomplish that mission. So on this celebration of the Sunday of the Ascension, let's not just stare up at the sky or ask questions about when the kingdom of God will come. Let's fulfill the great commission of Jesus and get to work on it now.